This is Arsene Wenger. Welcome to FIFA Training Center.
You're listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Training Center podcast. Throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar, we are taking you inside the game like never before. This fly-on-the-wall audio experience is putting you inside the car with our team of experts as they travel to all 64 matches at the FIFA World Cup. The final whistle has blown in the game between Iran and USA. You're now entering the minds of some of the world's finest football brains.
Welcome back and good evening, everyone. Wow, what a day of football we've had and what a fascinating game we've just left. My name is Mark Roberts, and with us tonight with immediate post-game insights is Sunday Alisai, Farid Mondragon, Mr. Alberto Zaccheroni, and FIFA's Elliot Stanell, where we all have just had the pleasure to watch the group B decider between Iran and USA. So on a night where the USA had to win, that's just what they did. Sunday, if we can start with you, it was great to see your real enthusiasm for that opening half from the US. What impressed you so much?
Well, I was very impressed with the total package the Americans brought to the game. To start with, they came out clearly with a clear style. We're going to defend with four. We're going to alternate defending with 4-4-2 and 4-3-3. But in possession, we'll switch directly to a 3-man defense and push up the left back into midfield to create a numerical advantage in midfield and at the same time give us depth in the back. This was really well done. And what I found also was that it was very clear they wanted to play high-power football with so much energy. They took a lot of fight out. They played very, very clearly. And they combined and decided that they will make all their attacks from the right side. George Weah's son was playing, Weah. And they went all through this side. They had chosen that their mode of finishing was going to be pullouts. So everything about their play was very clear, physical, quick touches, get to the side, try to pull out and try to finish. And eventually, in the first half, they got a goal from that, but at the tail end. But what was also very, very impressive that is notable is that the physical investment they put in the game, because they knew they don't win today, they are out. Because the opposition, the Iranians just needed a draw and the Americans were eliminated. So the calculators came out again, like we said earlier. So let's fight it up. And that worked out well for them. Just like the game earlier on today with the Senegalese, the very tail end of the first half, they got the goal.
So Sonny mentioned the attacks down the right-hand side, and Weah especially. It was his movement inside which allowed Dest, the right-back, to get him behind. Just a little note on Dest, he had 44 receptions in the first half, 15 of these in attacking areas, so 12 between the midfield and defensive unit and 3 in behind. The USA really tried to utilise line breaks over the top in the first half, with 6 ended up breaking the defensive line.
Oh, thank you, Elliot, and really supports the detail Sunday provide as well. And Elliot, we had another little chat, just during the first half as well, around the Iran line height, especially from a defensive point of view. Could you explain that and what we found?
Well, when the ball was in the Iranian defensive third, we noticed that their line height was only 11 metres out. So just to clarify what line height is, it is the location from the deepest defender to the goal line.
Oh, thank you. And Farid, can I just ask you about that? I guess as a goalkeeper, when you're in such a low block as a team, I guess what challenges does that cause you? And also your thoughts on the two goalkeepers today as well.
Well, of course, when you have a low block, you have so much people in front of you and the visibility is not as good when you have a proper space, even though to come and get the crosses. But I think Beiran Vand from Iran, now we understand that why he is such an important player for Mr. Queiroz, even though after an injury and a good performance last game from Joseini, he put him again in the first team, and he's a very good goalkeeper, a good delivery with the feet, transmitting lots of confidence, and in the goal he had no chance. And from the side of the United States, Turner, I think he made an impeccable game, going to get the high ball, supporting the defense in the long balls behind the defenders, delivering also well with the feet, taking your time when the pressure was on and needed to give a little bit of air, breath to his team, and physically also impressive. So I think both goalkeepers were more than decent, were very, very correct. And unfortunately for Iran and for Bier and Van, they have to go home. But I think this is a World Cup for him that unfortunately he will remember because of the negative situations, his injury in the first game. And today, even though he played very, very well, they have been disqualified.
Ah, thank you, and really good insight. And Alberto, you observed Iran for us tonight. What were your thoughts on how they approached the game?
The first half, the game itself was a total domination of the Americans, and it was clear that the Americans wanted to take the attack up to the Iranians, and they attacked a lot the left side of the Iranians. Well, as the Americans, once they lost the ball, they wanted it back, so it was a total domination from the Americans. But the Americans did not close the game by scoring the second goal, so that was what made the game a little bit as it was. The Iranians took out a striker to bring in a midfielder and to stabilize the game a little bit more. They made a lot of errors trying to come out, and that's where they lost the balls.
In uscita e lì hanno perso molte palle.
Eventually, they reverted back to a 4-4-2 playing style system formation, and that gave them some better stability. But we could see that the Americans were tired, and then, but they couldn't break the Americans.
So Sunday, I know people listening and myself personally have really loved these types of conversations and insights on the last few podcasts. But you know, you need to win. You're 1-0 up. How do you manage that scenario, and ultimately how did the USA manage that tonight?
Well, when we talk about calculators, it's not a joke. It's a real thing, because here you're playing to qualify, and the moment, like we saw with the Americans today, they did all they had to do to go into the lead, but they had put in so much energy into it, and the second half they now decided to seal it, you know, drop a bit and try to get and just to be sure, to assure the result. But on the other hand, the Iranians now knew that from their own calculations, they are out. They will be out if they don't get an equalizer. And then they try to up their game. To understand it better, it's like this. The first half, the Americans, each time they had the ball, they had numbers in front of the person who was in possession of the ball. They had numbers so they could play into areas, they could go forward, they could go sideways, they could go sideways to go forward, they could combine, they could take on one-on-one. The second half now, what you had were, when they had the ball, you had less numbers in front of the ball, you had less movement, and that made it more difficult for them to continue to impose the game. The way they played anyway, you can't play at that tempo for 90 minutes. So that notwithstanding, they got what they wanted, and they lost the player who was the most creative in the team, in Pulisic, when he got injured. And I think that kind of like played somehow against them.
Just last question, because I'm really interested on this as well. In midfielder yourself, played, as you said yesterday, in a number of World Cups, qualified for 3. When you're lead, and even when there's a couple of minutes to go and you check your shoulder and you see the depth of that back line, how do you manage that? Do you want them to come higher? Do you have to reduce the space and get closer to the back five? How do you manage even those last couple of minutes in the game as well?
Well, anytime you have to defend as a midfielder, the people you have to be closest to are the defenders, not the strikers, because it's the contrary when you're trying to score. So in this instance, what the Americans, I think they did it well, but it's a relatively young team too. So, and I think the experience is not really in the team. Normally, it's not negative what I'm about to say, but normally that's when you take more of your time on the ball. You don't rush into playing free kicks. You don't rush into taking throw-ins. You don't rush, but you try to kill the tempo to take away the bubble from the opposition. But they will learn with time.
Yeah, so just I wanted to allude to what Alberto and Sunday have both mentioned too, with the USA physicality and maybe the reason why they had a potential drop-off in the second half. In the first half, they had a counter press of 14%, which is 3% higher than average. So long-term, that might have linked into what Sunday's just mentioned there.
No, thank you. Fantastic insight. And Sunday, thank you again. Really, really great level of detail. And on a day when we entered, I guess, the truly business end of the competition, we've had to say goodbye to some nations, but we've been treated to some outstanding football and backed up with some brilliant insight, as always. From myself, Alberto, Sunday, Farid and Elliot, we wish you a good night and see you again tomorrow for Group C and D of the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022.
You've been listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Highway 61 production for FIFA Training Centre. For more information and insights throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup, visit fifatrainingcentre.com.